Hazrat Abu Dhar Ghaffari radiyallahu anhu has narrated a hadith, and he stated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated a nasiha, that we should increase our taqwa. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that we need to obtain and increase our taqwa. Why? What's the reason for this? Subhanallah. That taqwa, this for all of our deeds, it is the root and you can say the foundation for all our deeds. Taqwa. What a beautiful, alhamdulillah, you can say prescription for those who want to practice and implement, and those who have the fikr and worry for the hereafter. This is a beautiful guidance for those who want to practice and prepare for the hereafter. Beautiful guidance that the first important thing that we have to consider is taqwa, or to attain is taqwa. Whichever amal we do, whatever ibadat we will do, worship we will do, for all of this, the bunyad, the foundation is taqwa. Everything is based on taqwa. Now taqwa, the very simple definition of taqwa is to not disobey Allah Ta'ala's orders. In other words, that individual who saves himself from sinning, who shies away from the things Allah Ta'ala has told us to refrain from, who lives his life according to the Quran and Sunnah, who does the right thing, who considers halal lawful as lawful, haram unlawful as unlawful. And whatever the ulama haq, the true scholars, have given the guidance and shed light and have prescribed the hudud in terms of define the hudud, then if that person lives the life within those boundaries, that person has taqwa. If a person saves himself, is cautious, wherever on every turn in life, is careful and cautious and totally tries all the time, that may not any action of mine fall out of line from the deen. If some research has been done and the light has been shed on the truth, and today is the world of uloom, of knowledge, alhamdulillah, in every masjid, in every place, we have great muftis and ulama and scholars who are present. It's not difficult for a person to learn the deen. Is this haram or is this halal? It's very easy nowadays, masha'Allah. Whichever masjid you go to, there are muftis present, ulama ikram, respected scholars, there's daras, their bayanat, hadith are presented, explained, their tafaseer and commentary of the Quran. So alhamdulillah, it is very easy for us to learn, to attain knowledge. There's no excuse. What excuse? It's a very good thing for us that we should understand, we should learn, and after understanding, then we will be successful and we will follow. So the first thing, the foundation for our deen, our life, that before we construct the building, the walls and the solid building, before we practice the amal, whatever amal we practice, the biggest amal, take all of them in one go. The first amal, the first thing we have to establish is taqwa. Taqwa. So when we see that, for example, there's a wali Allah or an elder, and we go to the company for our islah, and a person tries to become good, it's obvious we go to the pious people to attain guidance from the friend of Allah. Otherwise, we're not going to clean their feet, are we? We're going there that he's a friend of Allah, he's a wali, he's a great individual close to Allah, he will give us good guidance, and with the grace of Allah, his du'as will also be included in his guidance. With such people who have good amal, who implement good deeds and are on the right path, themselves the practice and bring others towards practice. Like the respected scholars say, the one thing is ilm, and one thing is amal. Ilm, knowledge, is taught in the darul ulooms, in the institutes, and amal is taught in the khanqas. In the khanqas, where the walis of Allah are found. And this was, mashallah, the practice historically, that when ulema were free and graduated from the institute, from Darul Uloom, and became alims, then they would go towards amal, towards practice. And amal, they used to learn amal. You have to learn amal. You have to learn practice. So first, what would happen in them days is that the people who used to teach themselves, they used to be the alim and the ba'amal. Even they were the walis of Allah at the same time. So they taught both things. These are two departments. That after you attain ilm, knowledge, you have to go towards amal. Amal. So for amal, you have to learn this from the khanqa. So as I was saying, that when we reach to or go to a friend of Allah, wali of Allah, you'll see this, you will have experience in life, you will have met somebody. So as soon as you go to the wali of Allah, he doesn't give you something to do, dhikr or prescription, etc. When you say, I'm here for Islam, please give me help and rectification first, you'll say that, here, take my hand, first do tawbah. Tawbah, isn't it? Yeah, so where does it all start from? Tawbah, repentance. Oh, you know, I pray and I do this and I practice, etc. And I do this in the morning and I do this in the evening and I read one manzil of the Quran and I do these deeds. The people, they explain what they do, etc. And the elder, the sheikh, the wali says, leave all of this. Leave all of this. Because Hazrat Thanwi, rahmatullah alayhi, he wrote about a big event that there was a scholar, a big scholar, a great scholar, and he went to an elder, to a wali of Allah, and said, Hazrat, please do my islah, assist me for my rectification. And the sheikh said, okay, fair enough, but there's a condition that you will have to do tawbah first. He said, okay, that's fine, I accept, I will do tawbah. And so when he was about to do tawbah and repent, he felt something, and he said, what's happening here? It's feeling like something's coming out from me, from inside. And Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullah has written this. He said, I feel like something is leaving me and coming out of me. He said, yes, that is coming out of me. The alum that you attain, I'm taking them all out. He said, then please leave that, then leave that, leave it. This ilm, very difficult was for me to attain this. It took me all my life, so I don't want islah. And Hazrat said, you will regret this in the future. The way I'm doing it, I'm letting you attain rectification properly. He said, no, please stop the cure and the ilaj. So anyway, long event, and he regretted it until his final breaths. That what did I do? I stopped the sheikh, the elder, in doing the work to rectify me, and I fell into the trap of shaitan. Then he had to pay attention and give the tawajjuh to his sheikh. And that time when his iman was in danger, big alim, big scholar. And at that time he understood and realized that he thought all his life is dalil and proofs, etc. But shaitan grabbed him, because shaitan is knowledgeable. And he said, give me the dalil that Allah is there. He gave one dalil, second dalil. The scholar kept on giving dalils. And shaitan kept on refuting and overcoming those dalils and proofs. And he thought, oh, he started to tremble. What shall I do? Where's the dalil? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mercy on him. So his sheikh, he had the ilham. He felt that his student, he's about to die, pass away. So alhamdulillah, the sheikh said to him, why don't you tell shaitan that I believe in Allah without any dalil? Without any dalil. So this alhamdulillah, then he was successful at his deathbed. So the first thing, what does the sheikh do, the teacher do? He tells his student to do tawbah. When somebody says, I'm knowledgeable, I'm complete, I'm not a sinner, I'm fine, then he will not succeed. So if you go for islah to the wali Allah to learn, then consider yourself a zero and you're learning from new. So this is the first point. So if we don't have the foundation established, then our food might be haram, our clothes may be haram, our wearing zamarizq is haram, for lying, fraud, dunya, everything is continuing. And I come and say, I want to do islah. So then what am I doing? Islah is not done like this, that in the morning I read tahajjud, in the evening I read Quran, I do nafil, three times I go on hajj, five umrah. These are big things. This is nur ala nur. This is good. But all of this will be beneficial when? When alhamdulillah you have the foundation. Otherwise this becomes such a building, the little bit of wind blows and the building then drops. It drops with the gust. So we need to make the foundation. We should live upon taqwa. We should live our life and establish a life on taqwa. Everything we should be careful from haram, totally haram should come out of our life. From our eyes, from our nose, from our stomach, from our body. And this is the mujahidah we have to do. This is not this, that I've done this and I did that, and I'm working and everything's successful and my business is succeeding. No, these people are unsuccessful in life and they live an unsuccessful life. That's the conclusion. So this is a point that we have to learn solidly, because this majlis is the majlis of tazkiyah. That's why I'm saying these words for myself. There may not be that we have to regret tomorrow. It's very easy, deen. Deen is very easy. So when we hear this hadith and a person who's away from the deen says, your deen is so simple, Islam is so simple. What kind of people are there who until today they have not attained Allah Ta'ala's nearness? And he's amazed. There's such a straight path, so close. The first what we have to do is attain taqwa. Build taqwa. Establish taqwa. This is the foundation. And then our ibadah will be accepted after that, and it will be developed and improved. So how Rasulullah ﷺ then advised how to attain taqwa. What do we have to do to attain taqwa, to develop taqwa? Alayka bit taqwa. What do we do? So now the next point comes, and what is that? عَلَيْكَ بِالتَّلَاوَةِ قُرْآنِ. And the next point, ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ, the remembrance of Allah. SubhanAllah. So, تِلَاوَةِ قُرْآنِ, what should a person do? He should take the Qur'an and recite the Qur'an. This is our guide, our light, the nur. The Qur'an is guidance for us. So everything is within the Qur'an, the guidance. Everything is contained in the Qur'an. Otherwise, where will we get some guidance from somewhere else? The whole guidance is in the Qur'an. What a beautiful guidance Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Yes, a beautiful line. That dhikr and Qur'an, and dhikr and Qur'an combination in this hadith, how we attain it, SubhanAllah. That the deen, so pure and clean, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. If somebody wants to practice it. If, and there's no, you can say, contamination anywhere or mixture. First we have to do tawbah, go far from the sins. There's no fraud in the court of Allah. Yeah. So taqwa, the Allah Ta'ala sees how much is in our heart, the cleanliness, the purification, haram and unlawful actions. Allah Ta'ala knows everything, because everything, you can do what you want physically. Allah gives, there's no shaykh can give, no peer can give, nobody can give. Allah is the one who's watching. And He gives. So create the connection with Allah pure, straight and clean. Then the next thing was tilawat al-Qur'an. Take hold of the Qur'an. Tilawat. What is this? And then it was stated, dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. The remembrance of Allah. What a beautiful combination Allah Ta'ala has made here in this hadith. Why? Some people, you know, when you tell them do dhikr and you give them some guidance, then they say, when you say to them, do dhikr, they say, oh, I read Qur'an, why do I need to do dhikr? We hear this as well. And some people, they're doing dhikr, they say, why do you need to recite the Qur'an? We're doing dhikr. This is wrong. Qur'an is there in its place, and dhikrullah is there in its place. Both deeds are there in parallel with to do. The Qur'an is a complete kitab. All the laws, the ahkams, the orders of Allah, we will attain from the Qur'an. And when will it affect us? When will the laws and the direction and the guidance affect us? When in our heart, the effect of dhikr is there. So a beautiful combination. If we do dhikr, then there will be cleanliness and purity in our heart with dhikr, and then we'll read the Qur'an, recite the Qur'an. When Allah says aqimu salah, heart will be clean, and suddenly straightforward we'll go towards Allah Ta'ala salah. That's the combination, Qur'an and dhikr. They're both actions that need to be done in parallel. For example, yes, that we have examples here that some people say, look, there's a seed and there's the earth. You have to put the seed into the earth and give it the nourishment it desires and it needs, then it will grow. So the same way Qur'an, it makes somebody polished and clean and it makes him sparkle. So if the Qur'an is not in our heart, we will not succeed. And if we haven't done dhikr, then we will not want to understand the Qur'an. So that's why the hal of the ummah is in the way it is today, that we don't have dhikr. Inside our heart, there's no purity. We're not clean. So we're not pure. So the Qur'an doesn't affect us. It doesn't affect us spiritually, and it doesn't affect us physically. If somebody tells us something haram, we say it's not haram. How can this be haram? So we reject the ahkams of the Qur'an. We say, oh, we are fine. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Salah, Tahajjud. We don't accept that. What is the Qur'an telling us? What is the Qur'an explaining to us? Dhulam, oppression, lying. We are exceeding the rights, we are making mistakes, and we're committing fraud, and we're doing hajj at the same time. And a person saying, give me my money, brother, where are you going? I'm going on hajj. But this is your fourth hajj for the sake of Allah, my wife, children, they're distressed, give my money that you owe me. No. And nowadays, you know, so many business on travel as well. People have shops, they put visa, and they start business, they go and start business, they take people's money. That, oh, I've got a business and I'll make buildings for you. I'm just telling you today's story about our Muslims. These are true stories. I'm not speaking from the kitabs, I'm speaking from experience. Take this person's money, that person's money. And where's he making a house in Medina? He's saying, oh, I'll get to Medina. And he reaches to Medina and the money's gone. So what can we think here? That what a person, he falls into the trick and the games. If a person's heart is clean and nur comes, I swear by Allah, insan cannot think that, what is this? That a person who is in Masjid al-Nabwi, he's doing sujood and ruku and sajda, and he's given his presence in the rawda, can he do this sort of action? We cannot imagine. And this happens so easily today. So easily this happens today. Why does this happen? There's adhan, and the person's at his work, doesn't know what he's doing. That I've got to go and pray salah. So when does this occur? This occurs at that time when inside the heart is not clean from dhikr. Yes? So there are three things here that how our Rasulullah has taught us. If we want to learn deen, and if our niyyah is correct, that alhamdulillah, after today, that's it. There's no question to ask. We don't need to mess about. Yes, the whole situation will become clear. The first action, what do we have to do tawbah from? From the sins. And we'll do tawbah from the sins, then we'll start to enjoy reading the Qur'an. We will understand the ahkams and the laws, and the ilm will come, and the knowledge will come. Alhamdulillah, ilm will come. I tell you the truth. I tell you. The knowledge will come. That if we reject the sins and do true tawbah and take haram out of the life and say Bismillah and read Qur'an with the translation, I say it clearly, I state, announce that Alhamdulillah, that the whole chapter of the Qur'an will come into our hearts and we will implement the right. The ahkams will come, because this is the kitab of Allah. Allah has given us this kitab to understand. I'm not saying we'll become scholars and give speeches, and we'll become muhadith. No, I'm not giving the ilm of this maqam. I'll give that ilm, that alhamdulillah, the ilm will come into the heart, and we'll experience it. After that, we'll do dhikr, and then suddenly the amal will come into our life. The amal will come into our life. What a beautiful, easy madhab and deen we have. So, if we don't do tawbah, if we don't leave the sins, we want to keep haram with us and lawful things with us, and we want to stay on that platform. And doesn't matter how much I read Quran, oh, today two juz, I do one maslib, manzil a day, I do this much a day, okay, fine. But what is that person doing? That it doesn't descend below his throat into his heart. And this is where we are at the moment. That I have seen some people that when they read the Quran says, I make them wretched. And they go astray when they read me, because there's no cleanliness and purity with them. So first thing is save ourselves from haram. Then touch the Quran. The Quran says, don't touch me until you are not pure. We think it's about wudu. This is not about wudu. This is amal. That the Quran says that if you want friendship with me, attachment with me, love with me, what should we do? Do true tawbah and come to me, the Quran says. Then touch me, says the Quran. Okay? So this is the masala, that don't touch me, mutaharan. We think, oh, we have to do wudu and then touch the Qur'an. No, this is correct, but this is zahir. But what's the real, genuine thing? If you want faith from me, says the Qur'an. Alhamdulillah. If we have to reject the sins, do wudu, come and start to study me. And with me, then ilm will come into our lives, and then we do purity, and we clean ourselves with dhikr, then you see the amal that will come into our life, the practice. Yes, so Allah Ta'ala gives the reward upon this. What do we have to do first? Attain taqwa, establish taqwa, then recite the Qur'an, and then do dhikr of Allah. And why? Because this combination will give the fruits. Why? Allah Ta'ala says, look, لَقَدْ ذِكْرِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. That you will become so elevated then, so elevated that your dhikr will be mentioned in the heavens then. Your dhikr will be done in the heavens at that time. Subhanallah. This is for us the guidance. We say, Waliyallah, Awliyallah. This is the point. You do it, I do it, and Alhamdulillah. The angels will start to descend into our homes and our situation will change. But who will do this? We speak, we talk. Our madhab, our religion is about amal and practice. It's not drama, it's not stories. It's not speaking and talking. This deen is about amal. Because very quickly we have to present our amal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day will come very soon. And right and left will be there clear. That the deeds, will they come into the right hand or into the left hand? And there will be a big difference if the deeds go into the right hand or will they go into the left hand. Those who will get the deeds in the left hand, don't ask about their hal. The Quran explains there are no words we cannot read. We cannot explain and define how severe that person's time will be. Loss and wretchedness and curse and darkness and adab and punishment and la'na. And their hashar that's explained in the hadith. In the hadith that we cannot imagine. We cannot imagine just between the right and the left. And those people, subhanAllah, who get the deeds in the right hand, then see how Allah Ta'ala will give them the good news. So just a little bit about the dunya. This is a temporary time in the life, in the world. You know, for example, somebody, when you have a wound and the wound heals and then you start to scratch that healing wound and you feel good and enjoyment. As you scratch it, then the blood comes out. And then the blood comes out again, then the pain comes back and the wound opens up. So that was an artificial enjoyment when you were scratching that healing wound. Then the enjoyment goes and the doctor says, no, don't scratch the wound. The more you scratch it, the more pain you'll get. So sinning is such a thing. Sinning is such a thing. We have to understand this. Otherwise a person, subhanallah, so coming is difficult then to come out of haram. Close your eyes, allow what is going to happen, even if the difficulties comes and issues and problems comes. Listen to the hadith, the ulama ikram, the scholars, alhamdulillah, that we need to pay attention and go into the detail and understand. So what will happen? Allahu Akbar. That what a beautiful point is explained here. Dhikraka. That dhikr, fis-sama, that person then will be mentioned in the heavens, fis-sama. Fa-innam, dhikruka fis-sama. That person, mashallah, when he does the right thing, then for this person it will become for him, his mention, his name will be called in the heavens. That who are in the heavens? Who is present in the heavens? Who? Tell me. It starts from the angels, and if we continue, where do we get to? Our Lord, our Master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Khaliq is in the heavens. And Allah ta'ala says, Alhamdulillah, that I am proud on those people. And how? Allah ta'ala says, I mention those people. One person, normal person, me, you today, if we do the right thing, we do tawbah. So tonight let's do tawbah again. Honest tawbah, make our promises, renew our vows. I will do tawbah and you do tawbah. Collectively let's do tawbah. We want to live our life really. Tawbah, my brothers, we need to leave drama and playing games. Let's do tawbah properly. Properly. Isn't it? And after that, at that same time, we won't come out. Alhamdulillah. So where has this hadith come from? Think about it. From where has this hadith come out? Who is the one who's explaining? Who's narrating? Has Abu Dhar Ghafari, rahmatullah, radiallahu anhu. Is this some small statement? Insignificant? That is it just that we listen in one ear and we just finish it off? No. From this, the life is made. The awliya Allah, the ghawth, the kutub. If we follow the prescription, Hazrat Khwaja Garib Nawaz, Hazrat Fadal Ali Qureshi, Hazrat Ali Murtada, rahmatullah Ali. These are the personalities and great people, Hazrat Ghawth Pak. From these three points, alhamdulillah, whoever in the world, from the Ghawth to the Kutub to the Abdal, from the Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatullah, whoever was made, who was a wali, was on these three principles. My brothers, these three principles, and whoever doesn't have these three principles, true tawbah, repentance, leaving the sins, no sin should be in the life. You shouldn't even glance at the sin. Shouldn't even glance at the sin. And they were like us, and he said, okay, fine, whatever. Now we are going to enjoy the akhirah, the hereafter. We want to get the real enjoyment. So what happens? The person who does tawbah, and with the Quran and dhikr, his name is mentioned and remembered in the heavens. Then on top of that, فَإِنَّهُ نُورَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. In the heavens, his name will be mentioned and remembered, and on the earth, his nur will spread. His nur will spread. So these two things, let's listen carefully. What beautiful things here, that in the heavens, his mention. What is this dalil for? And on the earth, there will be nur and light. The Quran and dhikr. This is what the Quran and dhikr do in combination. After tawbah, the Quran gives us the direction. My brothers, hafidh. The Hafidheen, this is the status that the Qur'an gives. So when we read Qur'an, our Hufaz, they leave the Qur'an, abandon it, they recite it. What do they do? In Ramadan, they recite Qur'an. And such homes, the wife is a Hafidha, and he's a Hafid himself. But they don't even sit down and recite Qur'an at home. Subhanallah, the house should be such that the person whose wife is a Hafidha, and he's a Hafid himself, then in the night after Isha, both of them should do Dawr and revise. What a scene in that house. And the child that will be born, the boy or the girl, what nur will come into the house? But we go and talk rubbish, argue, gossip monger, backbiting, slandering, 2, 3, 4 a.m., chit-chat. Won't we answer on the Day of Judgment for these actions? Such homes in which the woman is a hafidha. She's a hafidha from before, early years, and the man is a hafidh. And go and see how they pass their hours in the night in waste of time activities in groups. They sit in waste of time activities and they spoil their lives. They spoil their lives. Otherwise, I swear by Allah, such a big nur, Qur'an. And we see the two, subhanAllah, hearts full of Qur'an, and it's night time. And the husband and the wife, they wake up at the tahajjud time, and he's reading to the wife, and she's reading to him. SubhanAllah, what a scene. This is the point, isn't it? Quickly after Isha, go home, don't sit any gathering, and chit-chat, take your children, go and close the lights after Isha, both husband and wife, and close your doors and say, no, that's it, end of the day, ma'fi. We cannot meet anybody, speak to anybody. Get up at the tahajjud time, and she reads to him, revises to him, and the husband recites to the wife, revises it, then they read Fajr and Ishraq. Then tell me the children that will be born in that home. Tell me. But we should have passion. We have so much passion and desire. I want hafidh, my son hafidh, my daughter hafidh. This has become like for the dunya, to show them that the son is back from the alim and the hafidh, but we have no pain for the akhirah. No pain. One brother, I heard him say, oh brother, and he is an alim himself. And he was telling his brother, oh, become a scholar, alim, scholar, mulana, you become an alim, imam, people, so many people will start following you. Everybody will respect you, you'll have status, maqam and rank, and people run after you, and you'll have a name and fame. Allah, so is this why we have ilm? Is this why we're learning knowledge for standard of ilm? Alhamdulillah. So brothers, first point here. first point is attain taqwa. Let's break the idols, break the games, understand the akhirah. We're going to reach to the hereafter. Nothing will be recognized there. The reality will come in front of us. And what was does a person become? Subhanallah, he becomes big when he does the right things in the heavens. His name is mentioned, Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, such angels up to the arsh. They line up, and the angels that are rotating around the arsh, who have a great status. What is their status? Dhikrullah. They remember Allah. They keep on doing dhikr of Allah. Why? Because they do dhikr of Allah. And after that, what do they do? That those who are doing dhikr on the earth, they do istighfar for them. Allahu Akbar. Because the hamjins, the angel, recognize the angel. One shopkeeper, recognize the other shopkeeper. One person's in a plane. What do you do? Oh, I sell shoes. Oh, you sell shoes. Oh, okay, you got this shoe, this model, this brand, this manufacturer, isn't it? Because they are common. They have something common. What do you do? I work in this department. Oh, yeah? I also work in that department. Okay, mashallah, how is everything today? And you become friends. You have things in common. So in the same way, the angels who are in common, who are around the arsh, the greatest angels, and what is their hobby? Dhikr Allah. They do dhikr of Allah, they remember Allah, and they do istighfar for those people who on the earth do dhikr of Allah, because they have that action in common. They have that action in common. But who does it? Has anyone any time? We do dhikr, and how do we do dhikr? That we are full of dirt, impurity, we have no taqwa. So the first condition is not fulfilled, and we keep on doing dhikr. So what benefit will dhikr give to us? Think for a few moments. We have the three things that have to be done in combination and parallel, and we cannot take one of them out. We have to do justice to ourselves and the deen. Why have we made our own deen, our own religion? Why do we trick ourselves? The first point, whatever we do, the first thing to do is what? Taqwa. Fear of Allah. Save ourselves from the sins. And how do we do that? Tawbah. Tawbah. Allah has given us such an action that how Allah is so kareem, so kareem. We say that between the two kareem we are stuck. And there's Allah and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And rahmah, mercy comes from both. Subhanallah. Rahmatullil alameen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we are stuck. And from both sides, the mercy and the splashes of rahmah come. But we still are running after jahannam, hellfire. This is the truth. We need to think for a few moments. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala, how He has prepared for us. That of sinner from ages, from years, maybe from decades, there could be nobody more sinful than me. Somebody broken down, burned oil. He said, what's happening here? Dhikr? What kind of dhikr? And he's come, and he's committed the sins. And I've seen people like this, alhamdulillah. There are people, I'm not giving you wrong examples. I give you practical examples. What dhikr is this? What's going on? He doesn't know about the majlis and dhikr and remembrance of Allah. And he just by chance stumbles into the gathering and he sits down. Alhamdulillah. Look at Allah Ta'ala's power. Allah Ta'ala says, I also accept this person. And this will happen, that what has been explained in the hadith by my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will do with this same person as well. If that individual who, alhamdulillah, who he stumbled into the gathering, if he realizes and sits, and he has sins from decades and years, but where, aha, subhanallah, may I be sacrificed with Allah's rahmah, that he's given us such a beautiful action, tawbah. Do tawbah, repent, and all the sins are wiped away. Just like the water from the flood comes, and suddenly a jolt comes, and the water from the flood takes everything away. What are our sins? Alhamdulillah, they are nothing. My brothers, our sins are nothing. With a clean heart, we shouldn't say, oh, I'll do it today or today. No, we should sit down today and say, we raised our hands, usibu bitaqwa Allah, that all the sins are finished. Allah, I'm going to shun and reject the sins, not from my mouth, from my ears, from my hands. I will cut off these limbs. I'm not going to do the sins from the limbs of my body from today with anything. I will put the hole in the stomach. I won't let haram come into this with nothing. Do this first, do tawbah, and Allah says tawbah, repentance, then Allah says, I forgive all your previous sins. Then, after that, we do, what happens? That Allahu Akbar, in the heavens, the name will be mentioned of that person, and in the earth, he will have nur around him, he'll be recognized. Subhanallah, what a great thing, what a great achievement. So what is the point here? That a person, if he's mentioned in the heavens, this is a big dalil, that if a person's mentioned in the heavens, then he's forgiven, end of story. Just have to wait, they're waiting for you. They are waiting for you to come to thereafter. Your houses, your hoors, your partners, your everything is waiting for you in thereafter. That whatever is, whoever is mentioned in the heavens, you think he will go into hellfire? No, then that person is walking in the world like a person, like a jannati. He's in paradise. He's paradise. So a person who attains taqwa, leaves haram. That's point number one. Number two, takes the guidance from the Quran. And number three, he purifies himself with the dhikr of Allah. Then he's jannati. Walking around in paradise in the earth. And what's written for that person? That you're going to do this, you're going to live in the world this long, and then after that you're free, you're clean. And then it's stated, Noor, the light on the earth. The on the earth, the Allah Ta'ala says, Ardi, on the earth. Nur fil ardi. So what will that person become on the earth? There will be nur, and dhikr will be mentioned. He will be mentioned in the heavens and in the world. On the earth there will be nur. And this is the dalil, that what is nur? Allah Ta'ala has given the proof here, that nur is like light, intensity. So with these three D's, Allah Ta'ala gives a guarantee that you get Jannah. And as long as you are in the earth, on the world, then you will stay in the nur, in the shade of light, in the realm of light. And as long as light is around you, you will not fall into darkness. So what this means, that person will become so illuminated, full of light and nur, that he will not go towards the sins. He will not step towards the sins. He will not stride towards the sins. Guarantee from the heavens and guarantee on the earth. Allah Ta'ala will not let you go towards the sins. Like a person goes into the darkness, and he's about to fall into the ditch, into the drain, and there's a torch there, and he lights up the area around him, and he saved, oh, you gave me the torch, I could see, I was about to fall into the trap, otherwise I would have fallen into the ditch. Same way, a person when he's about to go towards the sins, but he has done tawbah, and he does Quran recitation, dhikr, Allah says the torch will suddenly come to his aid, and he will not fall into the sin, because he's forgiven, and he's guided. Do you understand what I'm saying? The person who understands, tell me. Do you understand? You understand? Straightforward, easy formula, isn't it? So if somebody asks you, what is Islam? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. It's not hard. Oh, it's hard. You have to do hajj. You have to go on pilgrimage and pray tahajjud and ishraq. You don't have to do nothing. There are these three things we have to do. And what does that person become? Allahu Akbar. Qutab ghawth abdal. Allah's rahmah, mercy, the angels, subhanallah, they pray for him. Is there any easier formula than this? That's why that person said, there's such an easy deen. This is a person who's not even a believer. He said, why do you then run around failing? That our deen, if it was that easy, he said, your religion so easy? All this you have to do? He said to me, that what a straightforward, simple and pure religion. And that's why the Allah Ta'ala said, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. There's just one path, the straight path. There are no games. So brothers, alhamdulillah, great hadith. Allah Ta'ala has made us listen to this. Allah Ta'ala has given us this guidance. Let's do dua to Allah. Let's pray to Allah. Life is passing fast. Look, 10 days went so quick. The first 10 days of Dhul Hajj. Hajj is coming. Hajj went. Ramadan came. It went. Hajj, Dhul Hijjah came and has gone. It's disappearing, isn't it? Where have those 10 days gone? That's it. The 10 days are going to come. We're going to do this and the Aima and this Yawm al-Tashri and the days of Tashri. And from tomorrow, the Hajjis will start coming back. That's it. Some people are coming already. Are you coming already? Yes, 2 weeks have passed. SubhanAllah. Hajj you've done as well. So this is the life. Suddenly the life will pass. It will flash past our eyes. People will be carrying us on their shoulders in the coffin. And they'll be pushing our coffin. Because this is what happens. Only the coffins are pushed. And then lower into great brothers, we need to understand time is short, otherwise we're going to regret in our lives and in the hereafter so much extreme regret. Nothing but Allah, may Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, and also mashallah, you are pious. Already recite Durood Sharif.